This podcast is brought to you by the M3 Group.
Welcome to Boomers Rock Radio, featuring host Tom Matt. The show features a variety of topics, but most importantly, our show is about quality of life. From finances to health and wellness to personal improvement. If you have the questions, we've got the answers. Now, the host of Boomers Rock Radio, Tom Matt.
Thank you for joining us today, everyone. I'm your host, Tom Matt, and this is your Quality of Life radio program. Our website is boomersrock.us, like us, like family, like collective, like we're in this together, baby. Bring it together, just like the Beatles would say. Facebook is Boomers Rock, and Twitter is Boomers_Rock. Let's take over Twitter. Let's get going on that. Just like we did with Facebook, all of you middle living people out there and superior seniors, you are now walking through what we call the front door of the refirement zone, because refirement is all about 21st century. Retirement was the 20th century, and we're well into the 21st century now. So let's get going with the refirement zone. Together, we are going to redefine how we move forward in our lives. Boomers Rock is brought to us in part by my friends at On Target Living, where your life will improve one small step at a time by visiting ontargetliving.com. My friend Chris Johnson is just it's a huge, huge help to me and a great mentor, and I can't support him enough. So thank you for going over there and seeing his work if you need any help with your nutrition, any of that kind of stuff. Today we have a very good friend of mine from New Zealand joining us, all the way from New Zealand. Derek Sivers will be with us. And Derek Sivers has a very, very interesting story. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship and having the dream and moving forward and some tips from a man who has been there and done it and created a mammoth business that he never envisioned happening. It's a very, very interesting story. Let me give you a quick little bio here. After making a living as a professional musician, Derek Sivers went looking for ways to sell his own CD online and end up creating a company called CD Baby. Once the largest seller of independent music on the web with over 100 million in sales for over 150,000 musician clients in 2008, Derek sold CD Baby for a nice pile. We don't need to go into the numbers. But since 2008, Derek has traveled the world and stayed busy creating and nurturing and creating endeavors. He's written a book called Anything You Want. It's a very good, we're going to talk about this a lot because it really will help. It helped me. I read this book quite a while ago, and it was something that, you know, it's a really good primer for you if you're going to try to be an entrepreneur. And as I say all the time on the show, everybody, you know, we're all about transition. We're all about getting better and empowerment and that next thing you're going to do and never being afraid to try it. And without much further ado, I want to bring my friend in from New Zealand, Derek Sivers. Derek, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tom. That is the most energetic intro I've heard in a long time. I love it.
I want to make you laugh, man.
Love it.
Hey, buddy. So you're in New Zealand. I'm in Michigan. How's things?
Good. I'm from Chicago originally. I grew up in Chicago from the, what year, 76 to 88 when I went off to music school. But yeah, after I sold my company in 2008, I realized I was just such an American boy. I lived the first 40 years of my life in the U.S., so I wanted to challenge myself to live the next 40 out. So lived in Singapore for 2.5 years. I think that's maybe where you and I first met. And then moved to New Zealand a couple years ago and probably move somewhere else in a few years. And yeah, that's why I'm here.
How do you like that? How is New Zealand? I'd love to get there sometime. I've heard magical, wonderful things about it. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's great. I mean, it's honestly, for anybody thinking of vacationing here, I actually kind of recommend against it. I came here for my first time for vacation in 2004. And it's so far and it's so expensive. I mean, the tickets to fly here are like, you know, $3,000 round trip. And then once you get here, everything's pretty expensive. And really, it's not that different from, you know, a cross between California and, I don't know, Alaska or something like that. So it's really nothing you can't see at home, but you'll spend a ton of money doing it. But all that said, it's a great place to live because it's kind of like Montana or something in a way that's very untouched, pure, untainted nature. It's really a wonderful place to live.
So the Chamber of Commerce is just loving that comment that you just made. So we'll throw them some love for that one. But hey, that's cool, man. At least, see, that's the thing, everybody. When we bring our guests in here, our experts, we're all about the love. We're all about sharing the honesty. This is good, educational, fun stuff that we do here. And that's why we do this radio program. So Derek, let's talk about your story a little bit. Give everybody a little bit of a background of CD Baby and what happened with all of that phenomenon. And then we'll roll into some more tips that you have to help people, you know, get that dream happening. But tell us about your dream. How did that occur?
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, to give a little context, I didn't even mean to start a business. I didn't want to start a business. I know some people go and pursue this thing. You know, they want to be a startup entrepreneur. They want to be rich or something like that. And that's why they're doing it. But for me, it was the opposite. I was actually a full-time musician. I was just making my living, doing gigs, playing on records, producing records, touring, all that kind of stuff. Like, that was my full-time living. I was living in Woodstock, New York, and I actually bought my house with the money I made touring, and I was living the musician's dream. So I didn't want anything to distract me from my musician's life, but I just had a little website where I was selling my CD. But this was back in 1997. So this is, you know, there was no PayPal yet. Amazon was just a bookstore. If you were a musician trying to sell your CD somewhere, there was just literally nowhere on the internet that would sell it for you. It was a very different world. So I just created my own little website to sell my CD. But then pretty soon, like, friends started calling me saying, "Hey man, could you sell my CD through that thing?" It's like, yeah, no problem. So like on my band's website, I put up a couple of my friends' CDs for sale on my band's site, and they were telling their fans to go to my site to get it. But then I started getting calls from strangers like, "Hey man, my friend Dave said you could sell my CD." I'm like, sure, no problem. Any friend of Dave's a friend of mine. So I was doing it as a favor. But then I just started getting so many people asking me to do this thing that I just decided to make it into its own website, its own little business that I was doing on the side. And then, yeah, that thing just grew and grew and grew until it became the largest seller of independent music on the web. So, yeah, that was 10 years of my life from 1998 to 2008.
Does that story still blow your mind?
Yeah, I like how natural it was. I think you meet a lot of entrepreneurs that have a big dream or an idea, and they're trying to get the world to believe in this thing, or trying to convince the world to buy their thing or to sign up for their service. And for me, I felt like it was the opposite. Like, I wasn't trying to do this thing. I was honestly just kind of making myself a public servant in a way. Like, the world was asking me to do this thing, and so I said, okay. You know what I mean? It feels very natural.
It's interesting to talk to you about this stuff because, you know, as we continue to grow our radio program and what we're doing, and I have to tell you that since the last time I spoke to you, I took a bucket list, one of my bucket list items in my life at 56 years old, never ever playing music, Derek. I told my wife, I finally convinced her. I said, you know, I've always wanted to learn how to play the drums. I found somebody to teach me. I'm taking lessons. It's hard. It's a very, very hard, and because I've never been a musician, but I have a drum kit. I practice daily as much as I can, and I enjoy it. And I think it's very, very good for people to, it's good for your brain health. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to do it. I want to get your opinion on that.
Absolutely. I am such a believer in that. By the way, did you see the movie Whiplash?
I did. My drum instructor told me it was awesome.
Yes. Oh my God. Like, my heart was just racing in that final scene when the kid's on stage and like ignoring what his teacher said. Oh my God. What a great movie. Anyway. Yeah. I'm so all about that honestly, I'm glad you brought this up. It's a subject most people don't want to talk about, but you know, even just the way that you introduced me saying I'm in New Zealand, that's the other reason I'm here, or maybe even the main reason that I'm traveling the world is, you know, I was 40 years old and spent the first 40 years of my life in the US, and I'm so American. Like, I never really had dreams of living around the world, but then it's almost like I noticed that I was so immersed in my own culture that I felt like there's that saying that fish don't know they're in water. Like, if you ask a fish, like, "Hey, how's the water?" I'll say, "What's water? I don't see any water. What are you talking about?" Like, if you're so immersed in something, you can't even see it. And so I realized just through the tiniest little bit of traveling that I don't even know what my own culture is. Like, there's just things that I think of as just being true. And it's not until you leave America and immerse yourself in another culture that you find out that those true things are actually just an opinion. You know, it's just one way of looking at the world. So, yeah, kind of like you with taking up drums, I just wanted to kind of take up another perspective on the world just to keep my brain growing and stretching and, you know, not plateauing.
Hold that thought, because we're going to come right back. We're talking to Derek Sivers. You're listening to the Boomers Rock Radio Talk Show. We'll be right back.
At M3 Group, we rally together to move your business forward. Our clients know that we're there to support, train, consult, create, and guide them on their next big adventure. M3 Group is a full-service branding and publication agency. We assist our clients with every facet of their brand, from public relations to marketing and so much more. For more information, visit m3group.biz or call 517-203-3333 and let M3 Group help move your brand forward.
This is Tom Matt's Boomers Rock Radio. Connect with our show this week. Want to send Tom an email? Send it to tom@boomersrock.us. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Boomers Rock Radio talk show. Thank you so much for joining us today, everyone. Remember, my website is boomersrock.us. Like us, like family, like collective, like, hey, we're the big tribe, so let's get rolling out here and keep it moving. We're all about transition, and our guest today is Derek Sivers. And Derek Sivers is the author of Anything You Want, plus he started the business, the phenomenon CD Baby, which he turned and sold. He started a business just because it needed to get done. It happens a lot with business where, you know, you find a need and you just get out there and you make it happen. And so that's what Derek did. And Derek's he's also got a big TED presence. So if you haven't been on the internet, if you haven't heard what TED is, and I can't imagine anyone has not, if you Google Derek and his, just put his name in TED, and you're going to find the most phenomenal video ever. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But I want to finish the thread we were talking with Derek about, immersed in culture. And I find that very fascinating. Derek, can you pick that up and finish that thought, please?
Yeah. I just find that when you read about the plasticity of the brain, you know, you're talking about you taking up drums, right? So the brain is more plastic than we realize. It's more elastic. It can constantly grow and change at any age. And a lot of people really just get stuck in their ways. It actually makes me wonder about this thing we call aging and how much of that is self-inflicted by people just getting stuck in their ways. Like I find a lot of people, probably not your listeners, but a lot of other people think of like their teens and 20s as the years that they defined who they were. And ever since the age of 30 or so, it's, you know, this is who I am. This is how I like my eggs. This is me. This is my team. This is where I live. This is my skill set. This is what I do. That's that, you know? And I wanted to challenge that. I just felt like I was in this surprisingly free situation where I was 40, just sold my company, wasn't married, had no kids. I was just free to make some major changes. And so actually my first impulse was to keep doing what I had already been doing. Like the day after I sold CD Baby, I initially started my next company, but then I realized like, hold on, that will just keep me going on the same trajectory. I really want to shake things up and change my brain and expand it and see the world from a different point of view. So yeah, traveling is not required to do that, but for me, it just made sense. Like, you know, one way to change your brain is to just move to a different part of the world where everything is different and people have different beliefs and look at the world from a different perspective.
Yeah, the culture change. And I love that you brought up plasticity because it's one of my top three things, plasticity, neurogenesis, not to get too sciencey here, everybody, but these are three things that I find that are very, very important. Myelin is the insulator for the nerves in your body. And it's very important to understand what that is. We won't go into the depth of it. I have neuroscientists that come on and they can, you know, talk about all this kind of stuff. But plasticity is absolutely, it's the habit, it's the route, it's the way we do things. And so it's like me getting my left hand to work on these drumsticks. I mean, it's like I'm working on this drumstick thing and just, I know it's the plasticity. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, Derek, because that's what it is. So the neurogenesis, you know, you're continually growing and maturing and changing. And it's only been the last 15, 20 years that we've had the technology that can help us understand that it actually is true that your brain can change. I mean, we just didn't have the tools science-wise to do these things. That's why I find it very, very fascinating, you know? And so that's the thing, everybody. As Derek was saying, you know, you get on this, I call it the carousel of life, Derek, where you're on it for 30 years and you get off and you're all dizzy. You look in the mirror, you don't recognize yourself. And it's like, who the heck is that? And, you know, you look at your spouse or your significant other and the kids are grown and you don't like yourself. You don't like your spouse. And so what we got to do is we got to change. We got to have a culture shift, a mind shift. We've got to change our We've got to change our plasticity. We've got to change our habits. You've been doing that. You've been, you know, you worked on your book and you titled it Anything You Want. What does that mean to you, Anything You Want? Because I have other questions I want to talk about with growing and getting better, but what does that mean? What does that title mean?
Honestly, you know, Seth Godin, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. So Seth is one of my heroes. The truth is I never ever wanted to write a book. People for years had asked me to write a book and I just said, nah, not into it. But then Seth Godin said, I'm starting a new publishing company and I want you to be my first author. And what can you say to that? But yes. So I just wrote the contents of the book and Seth Godin actually named it. He thought that Anything You Want, from an outside perspective, you know, I'm just me living my life. Everything feels normal and sensible to me because these are my beliefs that I'm living by. But he felt like compared to most scenarios, my attitude towards business was more of like personal expression, that I don't distinguish much between business and personal. To me, like maybe it's my musician point of view, but I don't see making a company as that different from making a band, or writing software is not that different from writing a song. So I guess that philosophy kind of comes out in my writing a bit, this idea that your business is where you get to make your own little personal utopia and you can make it anything you want.
For sure. I mean, and I have to tell you that I actually met Seth at a seminar that I went to earlier this year, and he was coming out of the hotel as I was going in early morning, and he was probably going out for his walk. He was one of the guys, a great speaker, phenomenal. If you haven't heard of him, everybody, you really want to look, again, Google Seth Godin and find some of his books, because he's a great writer. He's got some really cool stuff out there. And I would love to get him on the radio program at some point. Maybe you can make that, help me out with that one there. Derek Sivers is our guest, and maybe Derek can help me with that. Derek, let's talk more about Anything You Want, because those are the things that we really need to do as we transition, as we get off that carousel, as I mentioned. There's got to be something out there that we're good at, that we like to do, that we find invigorating, that empowers us, that it's, we get passionate about. It's just finding that thing. And I think that people diminish their, especially as we get older, as you said, you know, at 30 years old, you think you're fixed in your ways and we know better now, but you have all this experience as you've grown and you've had your family and you're doing all these things. Take some of that experience. How do we get people to think about those, the passionate things that they do? How would you like to get that spark going for people?
Okay. I think there's actually a big overemphasis on the subject of passion. Nothing against passion, but I think when you're talking about your career or starting a business or something like that, your passion is not really the point. What's more the point is what the world needs from you and what the world values from you. So I think, so follow your passion is bad advice, because it turns out that passion is usually something that comes later after you build an expertise in something. You know, the classic example is the kid who is forced by the parents to take music lessons, but doesn't really want to, but you know, you say, no, you have to do it anyway for at least 1 year. But then after about 8 months of grumbling and doing scales, pretty soon, like, now it's starting to get fun. And then you like develop a passion for something because you're getting good at it. And now the rewards are starting to come. So I think it's the same thing with what you follow in your career path, or even starting a new business, that it's not always the most passionate, fun thing at first. But if you're doing something valuable that people are opening their wallets for and wanting to pay you for, and saying that, yes, I need this, and asking you to do that, then that's really your greatest contribution to the world. And I think the passion will follow.
Hold that thought. Derek Sivers is with us, and I want to continue this thread because this is very, very good advice. You're listening to the Boomers Rock Radio Talk Show. Derek Sivers is with us, and we'll be right back.
Is
Is your brand outdated? Do you need help effectively reaching new customers? Call the experts today at M3 Group. As a full-service branding and publication agency, we provide all the marketing services you need in one place. Our services include graphic design, public relations, media buying, website development, social media management, and more. For more information, visit m3group.biz or call 517-203-3333 and let M3 Group help move your brand forward.
Later years can be the best years of our life, but gray hair can make you look older on the outside than you feel on the inside. RootStix has you covered. RootStix is immediate, precise, and effortless. Its pen-like applicator allows you to touch your hair up easily while you're on the go and maintains your color between salon visits. Visit RootStix.com. That's RootStix.com to learn more and write off gray hair.
This is Tom Matt's Boomers Rock Radio. Connect with our show this week. Want to send Tom an email? Send it to tom@boomersrock.us. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Boomers Rock Radio talk show. Remember, On Target Living. Chris Johnson is my pal. Go to ontargetliving.com. He helps us get to where we are, and he will help you get to where you want to go. My Twitter account is Boomers_Rock. Facebook is Boomers Rock. And, of course, my email is tom@boomersrock.us. Like us, like family. Derek Sivers is with us, and we were talking about passion, and Derek was calling me out on the passion thing, and I love it because he's just that kind of guy. And, you know, sometimes you have to kind of step back and go, you know what? That's a really good perception of what I was trying to explain. I get tied up and sometimes tongue-tied, and hey, that's fine. That's why we bring experts in here. So Derek, you know, thank you for kind of empowering me and enlightening me. I'm going to start using that a little bit more. It's not so much the passion, but it's the value add. Let's continue to talk about that. That was great.
Yeah, one of my favorite subjects, favorite ideas I've heard in the last few years came from a brilliant little book called So Good They Can't Ignore You. It's by Cal Newport. So Good They Can't Ignore You. And I love it so much that I actually wrote a whole article about it on my site. If you go to sivers.org/career, I wrote an article about what I love about this book and why I think a lot of people should read it. So he coined the term career capital, you know, like capital, like money, the value that you build up over your career. So what he said is that what a lot of people mistakenly do is, after building up a lot of career capital in one field, say you've been working in a certain industry or field for 20 years, and they say, well, my real passion is to teach yoga. And so what they do is they quit their job at the law firm or something, and then they open a yoga studio with no experience in a place where they have no career capital and no built-up contacts. They say, but I'm following my passion. Now I'm running a yoga studio. But it often fails when people do that kind of leap. Instead, what he says is, after studying many people's careers, both successful and not, the ones that worked best were the ones where people cashed in their career capital. And what he means is, like, say you've been working at a law firm for 20 years and you've got a lot of contacts in that field. Instead of just quitting and therefore throwing away your career capital, instead you spend it. Meaning you open your yoga studio on the side, for example, and you start tapping your existing client base to slowly bring in clients into your yoga studio. Or maybe you partner with somebody that has a yoga studio at first. And so now you're a silent partner. You're just the investor. And eventually you get more involved. And eventually you buy out your partner. And now it's your yoga studio. That's a way of building career capital in one field more deliberately, instead of just throwing away what you've built up in another. You know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely. I'm thinking it's the same exact thing that I've been doing. My wife Sandy's been helping, and we, you know, we've been in our careers. We still are. And we're doing the media enterprise on the side, writing books, doing a radio talk show, and we're getting close to starting season 5 here. And it's one of those things where you have to just slowly get better at things. And people were starting to make comments about, you know, how long you've been doing this. And it's like, you're pretty good at this stuff. And as you continue to just push the boulder, as Jim Collins would say in Good to Great, you know, if you keep pushing the stone and you keep trying to get better and better, you will get better. I jotted down when you were talking about that career capital, tapping the mine, because you can be in the mine and you can be digging and mining that gold and digging and digging and looking for that diamond. And it might be 2 inches away from you and you don't even know it. And all you got to do is just keep tapping the wall, right? What do you think about that?
It's a great metaphor. I love it. It's true. It's, you never know when you're going to crack through. I think Seth Godin wrote a book called The Dip. It's about that kind of thing that we often quit right before we should. You know, that if you stick it out through the dip, he calls it, like the hard part, the reward is on the other side.
Yeah, there's another book that I read that's called 3 Feet from Gold, and it's a parable about this same type of thing, and that's the whole thing, everybody. So you take that career capital, as Derek is talking about, and you utilize that those talents that you have out there. Let's segue into something that I'm going to pull from the book here. You have in Anything You Want, success comes from persistently improving and inventing, not from persistently promoting what's not working. What did you mean by that?
We all hear the lesson that persistence is key. Persistence, persistence, you know, that's what did it. That's what my success was, because of persistence. But I think we've accidentally made the wrong definition of persistence. I think that a lot of us accidentally think that persistence means doing the same thing. And I meet a lot of people with these startup businesses that aren't going well. They're like, hey man, well, nobody wants my thing, but I'm persisting, man. I'm out there just doing it every day. I'm persisting. But that's not the key. Like, the key is to not keep doing the same thing that's not working, but instead persistently trying things. You know, you try different approaches all the time. And if something isn't clicking with people, you have to be quick to let it go, quick to change. And if, say, you had an idea for a book and you're pitching it around to a bunch of different publishers and nobody's biting, well then try a different book idea. You know, it's about trying different things, not just sticking with one and getting stuck on it.
Isn't that what life's about, my man? It's like starting to play the drums at 56 and not knowing diddly crap about music at all and struggling. And my drum instructor, 67 years old, and the guy is like, he's like my drill sergeant. He's kind of calmed down now, Derek. You probably like this guy, Mike. And he was screaming at me and he was like, no. And we're just learning. I mean, I'm just learning notes. I mean, quarter notes and eighth notes and eighth note rests. And you know what I'm talking about? The very, very, very rudimentary basic stuff. But you know what? You're right. It's been a few months now and it's starting to come. It's slow, but you know what? Sometimes that persistent practice, that passionate practice, is the fun part about it, because I learned that going back to school later in life, that it took me 9 years to finish my undergrad and graduate work in my 40s. And it was challenging, but that's where you get the confidence. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? I mean, that's where you get that career capital. You get that confidence to try these new things. And so I'm all about that kind of stuff, man. I'm all about, like, if you go to the gym and the gym's packed and, you know, I got to get my routine. Oh, darn it. I can't do that. So what? Go out there and try something different. You know, you might like it. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I love it. I just realized as you were describing this, the difference between the practicing music metaphor, where yes, actually the thing that you do to get better is doing the exact same thing over and over again until you've mastered it. That's different than, say, the entrepreneurial or creative pursuit, where in the music business, the most, the songwriters I met that were not doing well were the ones that just wrote one song and they were pitching that one damn song all around Nashville, LA, New York, and nobody was into it, but they just kept pitching that one song forever. Those songwriters would often fail. The successful ones I met were the ones that just kept writing two or three songs every single week. They had a catalog of hundreds of songs, and then occasionally, once every year or two, one of those songs would become a hit. So yeah, be more like the latter when you're doing creative things that you need the world to get into. You need to keep trying different things, not the same thing.
Derek Sivers is with us today, everyone. And Derek is an entrepreneur and he's a worldly guy who has been around and can help us try to break through and have a different type of mindset. Let's talk about mindset. We've got a couple minutes before we go to break here. I want to set this up for the final segment of the show because I want to make sure we get here. Fixed mindset versus growth mindset. Set up our fourth final segment coming up here. Derek, what does that mean? What is fixed mindset versus growth mindset? You got a minute.
Well, Carol Dweck is this brilliant researcher that wrote a book called Mindset that summarized what she found. But in all of her studies, she's found that kind of like we have introvert versus extrovert, it's a different way of seeing the world. People who have a fixed mindset are the ones who say things like, I'm just no good at math, or, hey, you're just a real natural singer. But the growth mindset says that nothing is fixed, that everything is something that can be learned. And the only reason you're good at something or not good is because you've been practicing at it or not.
Love it. That's exactly where we want to go. When we come back from break, everyone, with Derek Sivers in our final segment, please stick around because we're going to talk more about mindset, fixed mindset, growth mindset, why that matters, how it can help us, how that book was so influential for me personally, and I'm sure for Derek. You're listening to the Boomers Rock Radio Talk Show with Derek Sivers. We'll be right back.
When you look at your weight and health, you may see something permanent. However, you couldn't be further from the truth. Our health and weight are actually linked to fat cells and the low-level inflammation they produce within the body. Dr. Lori Shemek has studied the underlying causes of weight gain for years. By learning more about these causes, you can take your health into your own hands. To learn more, please visit drlorishemek.com.
Welcome back to the Boomers Rock Radio Talk Show. Thank you so much for joining us today, everyone. Email tom@boomersrock.us, website boomersrock.us, like us, like family, like collective. You know, you've heard me say that. Derek Sivers is our guest. Derek, how do people find you, get your books, your website? Can you share all that information, please?
Yeah. I mean, at this point in my life, pretty much everything I do is free and out in the open. I'm really not selling anything. So if you go to my website, it's just sivers.org, S-I-V-E-R-S.org. And everything I do is free and out in the open there. I guess the only thing that's for sale is a Penguin, Portfolio Penguin is releasing my book, Anything You Want, is coming out on September 15th, 2015, which is the kind of stuff that we're talking about here. But everything else is just wide open and free on my site. I highly recommend, if you're, you know, the kind of person that has listened this far into the radio show, send me an email, because I like people that like this show. You're my kind of people. So email me at derek@sivers.org. And I answer every single email I get. I enjoy doing it. So feel free to ask me anything.
He does, too. And believe me, the first time I had Derek on the show, been about a year or so, maybe longer. It was interesting because I sent him one of my books, and I sent it to, when you send a book to New Zealand, it takes like forever to get there. And yep. But I did send Derek an email because I had read his book, and I had stumbled across his articles or something, and it was very interesting, and he answered the email, and he came on the radio program, and now we're friends, and it's great, and he's absolutely a super cool guy. So, hey, you know, we're talking about Carol Dweck and mindset and fixed and growth mindset, but before we go there, during our quick break here, we were talking about having fun in life and why, you know, why people, we do these drudgery things and why we stick with it. Let's try to blend in the fun with fixed and growth mindset. Can we do that, Derek?
Sure, we'll find a way.
So, yeah, I mean, you got the fixed mindset. Yeah, you know, you kind of started to illuminate everybody about that. Back up a little bit, talk about that a little bit, and then why it's so much more fun to have the growth mindset.
Okay, so fixed mindset, almost anybody listening to this will say, oh, yeah, no, I don't have a fixed mindset. No, I have a growth mindset. Yep, I believe in growth. I mean, anybody will say that, right? But Carol Dweck, the author of the book, she pointed out that even in her years of research about this, as she's writing the book, she still realized that she was stuck in a fixed mindset about many things, like, you know, my husband just isn't good at cleaning, or I'm just a naturally good writer. She said, wow, like we're really taken by this idea that you just either are something or you aren't something, and this is just who I am. Can't help that. Can't help the way I feel. But her point was that, studies show that Yes, you can. You can change who you are, your whole identity, your skill set, all of it. If you see it as flexible, if you get into the growth mindset that believes that everything is just a matter of practice, then you can be anything you want. You can change any of your skills and your situation. So I think it's just a fascinating point that you just can't drive home enough. You know, it changes everything if you really get into it.
I like to use this metaphor, and it's, you know, you have the little boy, and there's the big pile of pony dung sitting there, and you know, you could look at it like, oh God, I got that. There we go. You know, woe is me. Look at that. Or you could have the growth mindset of like, I know there's a pony in there somewhere. I'm going to dig it, and I'm going to find that pony. You know, that's one of the ones that my parents would use with me. You've got on your website a blog post called Getting Out of a Bad Place. And I'd like to have you share a little bit about that. What is that all about?
That was funny. Actually, it's about the only blog post of mine I ever regret posting, kind of. It was, I usually don't get too personal on my site, but yeah, that was just like after a breakup and after, like, you know, just, we all have low points in life. And I realized that in those lowest points, I was calling friends for advice, and I was feeling very open to friends' advice because I was feeling like so low. And then I realized that I was actually feeling more open than I had in a long time. I spend a lot of my life feeling quite smugly successful. My friends ask me for advice. I don't ask other people advice. I'm the know-it-all, you know? And I realized, wow, this is a benefit of having a low point in your life, that when you're feeling low, you're actually more open to input than ever. And I felt that I was learning more than ever, because I was listening more than ever. And so suddenly, like, I realized, wow, this is really cool. I really kind of like being in a bad place like this. It's good for learning.
It's absolutely a great, great thought there, because, you know, when you put yourself in that vulnerable state, it's good, because stress is good to a point.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but having stress in your life is not a bad thing. You know, we're always saying we want to eliminate stress. You know what? You really don't, because really what happens is it helps you become more resilient. I've had doctors on here. We've talked about resiliency, and I'd like to get your opinion on that, Derek. You know, you've been through a lot in your life. You've been way up high on the mountain, and I know that extreme wealth can bring a lot of issues and problems, and I've trained very successful, very wealthy people when I was just doing personal training. And I saw what, it was very good for me to see that early in my training career 5 or 6 years ago, because there were a lot of baggage that came along with this. Let's talk a little bit about that, and a little bit about resiliency. How did you deal with the success and becoming resilient with success?
Okay. I've been living my life since I was a teenager by a certain philosophy. I don't even know if I would call it a philosophy. It was just kind of the way that I saw the world and the way I was living. And just a few years ago, I found this book about the ancient Greek philosophy of Stoicism. It's a brilliant book called A Guide to the Good Life. If you're on my website, I have a list of book recommendations, and I always put this book at the very top of the list, because it made such a huge difference for me. The philosophy of Stoicism is all about not getting acclimated to comfort, and in fact, continuing to challenge your comfort zone so that you don't get too used to it. You know, so occasionally putting yourself into intentional hardships to make sure that you're not getting weakened by your comforts. So I think this is so crucial. I think maybe because as a teenager, I wanted so badly to be a famous musician, and I knew that this is something that everybody wants, but only 1 out of 1 million get it. So kind of like an Olympic gymnast or something, I knew that I was going to have to train harder, you know, be more focused than everybody else. And so I, through all my teens and 20s, I just continued to challenge myself as hard as I could and throw myself into ridiculously difficult situations to test and challenge myself. And I guess that's what that movie Whiplash is about, right? Like, the teacher in the movie Whiplash has a deep belief that that his students will only grow through the stressors that he gives them. Right. In fact, while you were talking about eliminating stress, I remembered that Tony Robbins introduced a word. I've never actually looked it up in the dictionary to make sure it actually means this, but he said, there's a difference between distress and eustress, which is E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. He said that eustress is a word that means a positive stressor. So like a tight deadline for a creative project can be a positive stressor. In fact, there's a great quote from Leonard Bernstein that said, great things, great achievements require two things, a plan and not quite enough time. I love that.
Eustress is definitely a word. We got about a minute before we got to wrap this thing. Derek, what kind of advice would you like to leave people with 1 minute?
Oh, gosh.
Tough one.
I think the thing that's made the biggest difference in my life in the last few years is to take something that you think of as just a fact about yourself. Like, I'm just this kind of a person, or like, this is just something I'm good at or something I'm not good at, and flip it around to say yes to the things that you used to say no to, and conversely to say no to the things that you used to say yes to, and just try being a different version of yourself. I think it's so good for your brain, your self-identity, how you see yourself, and even how you see your future and your ability to do new things.
See, that's the thing about trying new things, everybody, and that's where we're at with this radio program. We want to bring these experts in who have this positivity, who have the experience, and can try to help just plant that seed, because that's how we're all about. We're not here to preach. We're here to share good information. I really would like you to think about going out and checking out Derek's book, Anything You Want, and it's out. You can get it again and again and again and read it over and over. It's one of those types of books that you can really grab a lot out of, and Derek Sivers has been our guest. I want to thank you so much, Derek, for giving us the time today. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Always remember, before you can share love with others, you must love yourself first. That's the key thing here on the Boomers Rock Radio Talk Show. Loving yourself first is the only way to success. Thanks again to my pal, Derek Sivers, for coming on the radio program with us all the way from New Zealand. It was awesome. Ezra Baker is our production director. Mickey Haddock takes care of our website. And Sandy Met does all of our pre-production coordination. Jeff Furman is out there. He's beating the bushes for us, and we're on the Michigan Talk Network, and we're really making waves here. We're moving, we're growing, and we're getting better. I want to thank you for listening to Boomers Rock, everyone. We'll talk to you next time. Now, go out and ignite your life. Good day.